Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes on Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. I'm excited about having Steve Forbes back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Steve's been a good friend of ours for some time now, and whether you know it or not, he's a good friend of yours. If you're a small business owner, Steve is a good friend of yours. He's editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, president of Forbes. He's a former presidential candidate, as you know, and he's the author of a new book we're going to talk about a little bit later on. I want to tell you about Steve Forbes. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you here, sir.
Good to be with you again.
Steve, let's get right into the news. As you know, as most people know this week, the Senate has been behaving a little odd this week. Instead of two groups, the Republicans and the Democrats, we now have three groups, the Republicans, the Democrats, and 14 guys who decided to get in the middle of the filibuster issue to avoid the nuclear option, as some call it, the constitutional option, to avoid the filibuster on the one hand or to avoid ending the filibuster on the other hand. And I wanted to get your thoughts on what you make of all this week.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that an up-and-down vote was not taken on this issue. They did not change the rules. It would only apply to judicial candidates who deserve an up or down vote. And I think it just postpones the battle. I think the battle is going to be renewed when you get the first controversial Supreme Court appointment, not necessarily the replacement of Justice Rehnquist, he steps down fairly soon. But when one of the other justices steps down, that's when I think you're going to see the real battle royale. And all of this, a nice talk about not using the filibuster again, I think it's going to go by the boards. I think it's going to be a bloody battle, and I think the Republicans are going to regret that they didn't change the rules when they had the chance to do so.
Do you think that this was a net loss for the Republicans and a win for the Democrats?
It was a net loss for the Republicans because while they quickly get a few of their appellate court nominees through, which they would have gotten through anyway, by changing the rules, they postponed the battle on the Supreme Court. That is going to come in coming months, and they're going to regret that a handful of Democrats, a minority of Democrats, are going to be able to block an appointment that is supported by a majority of the Senate.
Over the last few years, I've made the observation that it seems to me that the Democrats have not learned how to be in the minority, and the Republicans have not learned how to be in the leadership.
It's a good observation. As you well know, the Democrats controlled Congress for 40 years. Even though they've been out of power for the most part for the last 10 or so years, they still feel that they should be in charge. They feel that their court hold on the courts in this country is under assault, is in jeopardy, and that's why they're fighting so ferociously on this issue. They don't want to lose their control of the courts. They don't want to lose the ability to make law from the bench.
Well, they're starting to see their control of in other parts of their realm erode, and the courts are one of the last bastions of control that they have, isn't it?
That's right, and they feel that they should be able to control one institution of government. They've used the courts for years to enact their program, to enact their agenda, without going through the legislative process, and they don't want to lose that ability to do so. A lot of the things we see with us today would not be here without it. The trial lawyers are very upset by the prospect of losing control of the courts because the courts have enabled them to plunder industries for hundreds of billions of dollars.
Right.
So there's a lot at stake in this.
What does it say, Steve, about the Senate Democrat principles if judges they've said horrible things about for 2 to 4 years are now suddenly acceptable, these three that they've approved? And what does it say about Senate Republican principles who to arbitrarily let some judges get rolled under the bus?
I think it's a whole cynical deal that allows everyone to get off the hook. The Democrats can say, well, we had to let these three folks through. We stopped a couple of others to preserve the filibuster. And the Republicans can say, well, we prevented a fight and we got three through quickly. But you're right, several, a couple of them were cynically thrown to the wolves. It just is a stinking deal.
I don't think I think this was is a situation, Steve, where they didn't make Solomon very proud, did they? They this isn't a lot of courage that we're seeing here, is it?
No, I think it was really a duck and punt and hope something turns up in the future.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Steve if he thinks it's losing the filibuster in the Senate would be a bad thing. And then we're going to move on and talk about tax reform. This is a topic that's very near and dear to Steve Forbes' heart. 20 Tales, stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. You never want to quit. No, no. After you've had it, yeah, yeah. You're in an awful fix.
We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate and visiting with our good friend Steve Forbes, editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine and also president of Forbes and the author of a new book that I'm going to tell you the title of in just a few minutes. But before we do go there, Steve, I want to ask you if this week had the infamous 14 not come together with their little deal to basically neutralize the majority of the Republican Party in the Senate. If they hadn't done that, theoretically, the Senate would have gone into a – there would have been a vote. Frist, Senator Frist would have called for a vote and apparently would have imposed what some call the nuclear option, some call the constitutional option, which was to basically abolish the filibuster. Is that right?
Well, that's right, but the filibuster would only go for judicial nominees. You could use it for any other thing in the Senate.
So it wouldn't have abolished it for everything, just for judicial nominees?
Just for judicial nominees. And the other thing to keep in mind, Jim, is that these rules can be changed week by week.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says a Senate rule must last forever. The next session of Congress, they could change the rules again. This wasn't carved in stone.
Well, am I correct in saying that until four or so years ago, there had never been a filibuster of a judicial nominee?
I think not to this extent at all. You've had a few nominees in the past that turned out to have truly questionable records. But all of these nominees to the appellate court and district court, all were qualified even by the liberal-leaning American Bar Association, found them all qualified,
right,
or highly qualified. So it was just raw political power at play. It was abused, and it should have been changed.
Well, I think your statement earlier is absolutely correct, and that is that all this has done is just delay the inevitable, and it at least, if nothing else, if it does pop up again, at least the Republicans can say, you know what, we did try once, and you know, I think you're right. I think they're going to have to go to the constitutional option eventually. One other quick thing, in before we leave the Senate. Will John Bolton be confirmed this week or next?
I think so. I think they'll allow an up and down vote. They don't want to. The Democrats, I don't think, want to use a filibuster on this one. They know in their heart of hearts the ambassador to the UN is not a major player. He'll have a good platform, but in terms of the scheme of things, in terms of the Supreme Court or the appellate courts, this is minor stuff. They're going to probably say it's terrible, let the vote go through, and then focus on the Supreme Court.
Would President Steve Forbes have nominated John Bolton as U.S. Ambassador to the U.N.?
If I knew of him, absolutely.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a good guy up there. We need somebody who is a little indignant to be our representative in the UN, as far as I'm concerned.
It's needed, and we've had him in the past. Patrick Moynihan, Democrat, was effective in the 70s. Gene Kirkpatrick in the 80s. We need somebody like that.
Let's move over to tax reform. And this is an issue, Steve, that I know is near and dear to your heart. You spoke recently. You testified before the President's Advisory Panel on federal tax reform. And I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about what you told them.
Well, I came out in favor of the flat tax, single rate. family of four, no tax on the first $46,000 of income, no federal tax, only 17 cents above that, no double taxation of dividends or no death tax. Make it simple. Fill it out on a sheet of paper. Business people, be able to write off your investments, expense them all at once. If you have a loss, you carry it forward. Make life simple. Focus on what's at hand. And one of the points I made, Jim, was that the ability to think that you can amend this thing, change this thing, is preposterous. We tried that in 86. They simplified the code a little bit, but hardly was the ink dry on that bill. When the monster rose again, they've since amended it 14,000 times, added 3 million.
14,000 times.
Junk it, start over.
Well, I think that's exactly what we've got to do. And the more I think about this, and I've covered the tax, the different tax proposals ever since I've been doing this show. And I do believe I'm with you on this. The flat tax is the way to go, because anything else is subject to us winding up with two taxes. To me.
Well, that's the real danger, and the advocates of a national sales tax, they recognize, too, the current code's an abomination. But the key to that is you've got to get rid of the 16th Amendment to the Constitution, which allows Washington to impose an income tax. If you don't get rid of that, we'll end up with what most states have, and that is both an income tax and a sales tax.
And if you and folks, if you wonder what that looks like, go to England.
And any European country.
Or any exactly. If you want to see what it's like to have
high value-added tax, consumption taxes,
they've
get
got
you everywhere.
they've got national tax. They've got value-added tax. They've got, I mean, they've got taxes coming out there. Go to Sweden if you want to see what this could look like if we don't simplify things and get back to something which is Steve Forbes has been calling for a long time. When did you start talking about flat tax?
Way back in the late 80s, early 1990s.
Yep.
Ran for president twice on the platform, and people respond to it. They know the current code's abomination, and there's nine European countries, Jim, by the way, have put one in. It's worked very well.
Including Russia.
Russia's done it. Hong Kong did it 60 years ago very well, a variation of it. And it's not just simplification. The world is beginning to wake up. World is beginning to try to surpass us. India, China, other countries. We got to get our own act together.
Well, we need to. It's not just about collecting tax, folks. We need an efficient tax that fits the 21st century marketplace. Steve, the new book is called The Flat Tax Revolution, isn't it?
A Flat Tax Revolution, and the subtitle is How a Postcard Can Abolish the IRS.
When's it going to be available?
Going to be available 4th of July.
Are you going to launch that? Will you launch that, your book, on this show?
I would be delighted.
You're invited right now. Quick break, right back after these messages. Important question for Steve, right after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Steve Forbes, editor-in-chief of Forbes Magazine and president of Forbes, and the leader of an outstanding website, too. Steve, why don't you give us your website, please?
It's Forbes.com. We've got great new material each and every day. And, Jim, we've got over 8 million visitors each month coming to the site.
Congratulations.
Another premier business site.
Congratulations. And it's profitable, too, isn't it?
Amazingly, it makes money. I didn't
think good.
Those things were legal on the web.
And don't forget, folks, the Forbes magazine. And by the way, the new copy, the subtitle of or the title, I should say, of this of the new edition of Forbes is called Investment Guide. And I'm going to ask Steve a question about that in just a minute. But Steve, before we go there, I want to ask you about the United Airlines' recent default on its defined benefits pension plan. Do you see there are other legacy airlines out there with similar straits. General Motors is looking like it's an awful lot like United Airlines along these lines, and there are many other firms with what I call 20th century paternalistic baggage. Do you see this as this United Airlines thing as the first of many pension default dominoes?
I think sadly it is. I think it sets a terrible example. Because companies, especially with their unions, can make outlandish promises to their employees. Then when the day of reckoning comes, they just dump it on the federal government. Then the employees discover that they're not going to get the pension they thought that they were promised. So it leaves a bitterness all around. And United's competitors are going to say, well, they dumped billions of dollars of liability
right
on the taxpayers' lap to be competitive. Why can't we?
Well, and they would have a good question, wouldn't they?
It really would. So they have to be asking. And I think in the next few years, you're going to see more and more of that. And as you know, the Guarantee Corporation, this insurance company that is government, is already in the red by $23 billion.
Yeah.
It's going to require an SNL-like bailout.
And you know, Steve, I hate to say this. This may sound mean on my part, but I got a problem with paying for all those bailouts myself. What do you think?
I think it just distorts the market. And one of the things they should do is make that pension agency privatize it so it charges realistic premiums and not make it mandatory for employers, so that employers realize they can't, and the unions realize they can't make these outlandish promises and think that somebody else is going to pick up the tab.
Well, can't these can't that company, the and I've forgotten the acronym for the pension, the government pension organization, but
I think they call it the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation.
That's it. And so, but can't they make it where if you default, basically you have to give your assets over to that organization so they can liquidate whatever they. I mean, that's what they did with the SNL bailout.
Sure. Now, there's a lot that has to be done, and United had several billion in the pension fund anyway, and they should have. In effect, to cash the what obligations they had. But also, employees should be told each year what condition that pension plan is in, what they would get if the thing went bust, so
mm-hmm.
they'd have a better awareness of how shaky the thing is, and they wouldn't accept glibly those promises that are so freely made because the employers and the unions think the government's going to pick up the cost of it.
Right. Well, in your investment guide edition of Forbes this week, are you guys bullish on American stocks?
Actually, I am bullish. I know there's a lot of concern about it, but I think that housing's gotten a little ahead of itself in some parts of the country. I think we're in one of these periods where in the bull market, Jim, the phrase is climbing walls of worry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're all aware of the problems out there. There are some very real problems on trade, on the Federal Reserve, on interest rates. But this country's got great resiliency, and you don't make money for long going short on the nation.
Right. Steve, there have been a lot of names proposed as top Republican presidential candidates for 2008. My favorite name, and I'd like to propose that name today, is Steve Forbes.
Well, thank you very much. But, Jim, I'm now an agitator.
What do you mean now an agitator?
I've always been. But especially with the book coming out, The Flat Tax Revolution, I'm going to be stirring the pot even more and pushing candidates and causes.
Well, I have to say, Steve, and I mean this very sincerely, I'd like to live in an America that elects Steve Forbes president.
Well, thank you very much, sir. But I think together we'll create an environment where any candidate who wants to get elected is going to have the right principles. That's what I'm working for.
From one agitator to another, it's a lot more fun, isn't it?
It really is.
Steve, give us your website one more time.
It's Forbes.com, very simple, and www.forbes.com. Got great material on there, access to a lot of material, a lot of sites. We've got a new auto site.
Yeah.
So if you're in the market for buying a car, we've got the website to go to.
And the magazine every other week, Forbes magazine, and also Forbes FYI. That's a good one, too. Thank you, Steve. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thank you.
Good job. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.